Let's give it another, I'm gonna give it 2 clock minutes now, okay? So for those of you who come in later, haven't seen it yet, I want you to order these statements. Give me an ordering of the numbers 1 through 8 from most likely to least likely in terms of how likely these statements are true, okay, or false, okay? One says that Linda, the story we know about Linda is that she's 30, she's single, she's smart, she has a degree, advanced degree. While in college, she was politically active, okay, in protesting against nuclear power. That's what I will tell you is true about Linda. I want you to now, based on this, organize the following statements about Linda in terms of most likely to least likely. Okay? Let's think about that. How many people have their orderings? Okay, 2 people. Let's give it a little bit, think a little bit more. So rank these statements from 1 to 8. And it will give you literally 1 more minute. Okay, when the clock hits 2:27, I will stop. Okay. 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 How many people have their orderings from 1 to 8? Okay, a bunch of people. Okay. Let's now look at these orderings. So now hopefully people have, at least people came on time, have ranked these statements from most likely to least likely. Okay. The question I have for you is, so there's some permutations that are illegal. Okay. That people may have put down in terms of most likely to least likely. Okay. How many people felt that, the probability that, who feels that Linda, if you take a look at your permutation, how many people think Linda is more likely to be blonde than dark-haired? How many people think more likely that Linda is dark-haired than blonde? Okay, I can't tell you anything about hair color. I don't know that. But what I do want to ask you about is the following. Is there anybody here who wrote that statement 6 was more likely than statement 5? Is there anybody here who put down that statement 6 was more likely than statement 5? Okay. Some people wrote down that statement 6 was more likely than statement 5. Now I ask you, how could that be possible? Okay. Because it says, statement 6 says Linda is both a bank teller and a feminist. How can that be more likely than the fact that Linda is a bank teller? Because it's clear that if Linda, there are bank tellers who are not necessarily feminists, okay? So my claim is that if somebody, that somehow, this is a conjunction of 2 statements. This is 1 statement. The likelihood of these 2 things happening, by definition, has to be less than or equal to this. There is no way that the combined statement can be more likely to happen than the single statement. So I want you to now, do people see what I mean by that? Okay. Take a look at yourselves. How many of you, okay, picked one of these conjunctive statements as being more likely? Then, was there any one of these, how many of you put statements 6 through 8 as being more likely than any of these other statements? I mean, was it that you made some kind of a goof in your understanding? Okay. How many people will confess to having said that one of these is more likely than one of those? Okay. How many people won't confess to that? Okay, but did it anyway. How many people's logic was consistent enough that that in fact these things with the conjunctions of statements were always less likely to occur than the single ones. Okay, a lot of people did that. What's interesting is that, again, you guys are relatively educated about probability and mathematics and reasoning. There's still some people who got it wrong here. When these kind of surveys were given to people, the public in general, okay, a very large percentage of people made mistakes, okay, in their reasoning like that. A lot of people don't know how to reason probabilistically. And this is sort of one of the examples of it that I always kind of like. But so anyway, something to think about. It's important to remember that conjunction of events is no more likely than the individual events. Can't be more likely than the individual events themselves. Any questions? Okay. What I'd like to do now is today talk a little bit more about two what I think are interesting problems in probability, related to sort of some of the probability things that we've talked about. I don't want to go through, I'm going to think, I'm not going to go through too much detail about some things like, well, we'll see, unless time permits, I'm going to try to avoid discussions of variance, okay, which is, while very important, many of you have probably seen before. I want to look at two different combinatorial problems and how probability might work into them. Okay? One is a famous problem on computing sort of the number of derangements. Okay, it has to do with talking about derangements. What is a derangement? Okay? Suppose we have the story that we have a secretary, okay, who is given the job of taking n letters, which have been envelopes which have been addressed, okay, and n letters, which is supposed to go to a particular person. And that person is charged with stuffing one letter in each envelope. But suppose that instead of actually reading to make sure that the right letter goes in the right envelope, they randomly stuff letters into envelopes. Okay? What is the probability that none of the letters will end up where they're supposed to? Okay? This is a problem sort of somehow. Basically, it says that if I have n things, let's say like n people and n hats. You sometimes hear the problem talked like this. Each person has a hat. They go to a room to, you know, their hats get mixed up and given back to them in random order. What's the probability that nobody gets their hat back? Okay? That's what I claim is what these problems of derangements. What is the probability if I have n people and I randomly give people, every person has a hat, and I randomly give hats to people, what is the probability that all of them get their hats back? Let's look at it this way. N people randomly assign this thing. What's the probability that all of them get their hats back? Okay. Can anyone see that? Okay. So now I have a world where, let's just make sure to warm us up on this problem. Suppose, let's say I have, four people. Okay, this guy's A, B, C, and D. Suppose I randomly pull up, A gets hat one, should get hat 1, 2, 3, and 4. I randomly scramble the numbers 1 through 4 and assign each person one of them. What's the likelihood that each one gets that everyone gets the right hat? Okay? So for n people, what's the likelihood that all of them got if we did a random assignment of things, that each of them got the one thing that they were supposed to get? 1 over n factorial. Okay? We agreed that it's a very, very rare event that everybody gets exactly what they want. Why is it 1 over n factorial? Well, because there's n factorial, you can think of it as being we permute the hats that come back, okay? And only if we come up with one particular permutation, okay? If I think of it, the identity permutation, one of those permutations will give everybody back their hat. Otherwise, it doesn't. What is the probability that we have think about this, that exactly n minus 1 people get their hats back? Okay, suppose I randomly permute the thing. What is the probability, everybody, I have the n hats, I scramble them up, I give everybody a random hat. What's the probability that all but one of them get the hat back? Okay. 0. Okay, there's no way only one of them can get the wrong hat. Okay, we agree with that one, right? So that you need to have at least, if one person's getting the wrong hat back, at least two people are getting the wrong hat back. Okay? Well, let's think of the problem where, that's the case where a lot of people get it right. What if, let's say, we want to think about how many hats, what's the probability that if I scramble, that nobody gets their hat back? Okay? Let's think of it now in the other direction. I now take n people, okay, if you want to think of it, and n things that they own, scramble the things that they own. What is the probability that none of them get their hat, get what they own back? Okay, question. Okay, I'm asking a question. Okay.
N minus 1 factorial over n factorial?
The answer came back as n minus 1 factorial, 1 factorial over n factorial, which if that was true would be 1 out of n. Okay? So your claim would be that the probability would be that the probability that nobody got it back would be 1 out of n. I claim, in fact, it's 1 over e. Okay, where E is sort of 2.718, okay, dot, 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 okay? This is not obvious, okay, why this is true, okay? But it's kind of an amazing thing what it says. What it says actually is that if you have more and more people in the room, the probability that you end up getting, that somebody gets their hat back, doesn't really change. You might think that if you have a room full of, with a billion people, you scramble up the hats. Okay? It's more likely that somebody gets the thing right. But on the other hand, each hat can be scrambled over a lot more people. So the interesting thing, okay, what is that in fact this probability approaches a constant and stays there. Okay? And I'd like to show you a little bit how you might work this kind of thing out. Okay, a little bit more details about it. Okay, it's kind of an interesting and seemingly hard to believe thing. Okay? But what I'd like to do is to, the issue here, fundamentally, is I claim counting the number of derangements in a permutation. Okay? What is the number of derangements in a permutation? Well, a derangement, okay, the number of derangements of a given number, given n. A derangement is a permutation of n, okay, is a permutation of the numbers 1 through n, such that the ith element is not equal to I for any element. Okay? A derangement is a permutation where no element is where it should be. Okay? That's what we call a derangement. How many derangements are there of size, let's say, n equals 2? Equals 2. How many derangements are there?
1.
And what is that derangement? 2 comma 1. Okay? For n equals 3, how many derangements are there? Okay. 6. Well, what are they? Let's list some derangements. Okay. Why don't we try listing all the derangements that start with 1? How many derangements start with 1? None. How many derangements start with 2? Okay. If I have one that starts with 2, what's the next one that's going to be there? This is going to have to be a 3 and a 1. Right? I couldn't have, why isn't 2, 1, 3 is not going to work, is it? No. So if it starts with a 2, that's that. How many of them start with 3? If I start with 3, okay, what's the next one? 1, and the next one is 2. Okay? So I claim there's only 2 such derangements. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? Okay? How many derangements of n equals 4? 4 things are there. Let's think about that. How many derangements start with 1? None. What derangements start with 2? Okay. I could have 2. The next one would be a 1. 4, 3. I can't have 3, 4, right? 2. I could have a 3 here. Now what are my choices? I could have a 4, 1, but I can't have a 1, 4. Hi there at Ademco. I noticed you guys just came in on the screen. Okay? We're talking, were you guys able to hear the lecture so far or nothing so far? Can't hear you at all. Okay. So you have not heard it? Hello?
No.
No evidence of that. Okay, I'm going to guess these guys didn't hear it. So let me just review quickly what we're trying to do. We're trying to count how many permutations of length n are there that no element is in its right spot. Okay? So they begin with 2. I claim that that's what 2, 3 would be like that. Is there anything that begins with 2, 4? I claim 3, 1, 3. Okay, right? How many derangements are there that begin with 3? Okay, I could have 3, 1, and then what? 4, 2. That won't, okay. Anything else that begins with 3, 1? No. 3, 2. What? Ah, can't do that. 3, 3. Okay, no, that doesn't good. 3, 4. If I have 3, 4, what can I now do? 1, 2, and 2, 1, right? And finally, for 4, 4, I could have 1, 2, 3. What other ones? 4, 1, not 3, 2. 3 is in a bad place. 4, 2, that's not going to work. 4, 3, 1, 2, and 4, 3, 2, 1. So I claim that there's 9 of them here, 2 of them there, 1 of them there. Everybody agree? So how many derangements are there as a function of n? Okay? My claim is that that the trick to figuring out what the probability is that there's no fixed points, okay, that actually is going to be the way that you would do that is you would count how many derangements there are and divide that by n factorial. Each assignment of hats is a random permutation. Some of them are going to be derangements, some of them are not going to be derangements. The ratio of those is the number of the probability, correct? Here I claim is a recurrence relation to count the number of derangements. Okay, and let's look at it because it's kind of an interesting recurrence relation. Okay, the claim here is that a d sub n is going to be equal to the number of derangements on n elements is n minus 1 times the number of derangements on n minus 1 elements, and n minus 1 plus n minus 1 times the number of derangements on n minus 2 elements. Why is that? Let's take a look at any derangement. Okay? If I look at any derangement, okay, on n things, if I have a derangement on n things, what do I know is in the nth, what do I know about the nth spot in my derangement? What value is it? Or what value is it not? N. So we know that this is going to be some number k, okay, right? We know that somewhere else in the derangement, the element n has to be, right? Let's now think, what happens if we now swap this element with that element? Okay? By definition, it's not a derangement, right? But let's think what it is. How many fixed points will we have? A fixed point is an element in the right position. How many positions will we have if we swap this element with the element that was in the nth spot? Okay? We will have, there were none here, there's still going to be none here. Certainly the nth element is now going to create a fixed point. This element may or may not create a fixed point, depending upon whether or not this happened to be sitting in the kth element. Okay? If n was sitting in the kth element, then we would have it. If not, we didn't. Okay? So now let's describe all permute derangements of n, okay, in terms of what happens if you give me a derangement of size n. I claim that I can uniquely figure out which element do I swap with it, right? Okay, that which element contains the nth spot. I could now think about performing that swap. The nth element could be in any spot from 1 to n minus 1, right? There's equally good many derangements of that, okay? Once I know what element it is, I claim that I've got one of two possibilities, okay? If, in fact, when I do the swap, this element is not in its right position. That meant that after I did the swap, what I have here is a derangement of size n minus 1, correct? If, in fact, that swap did not create a fixed point here, that meant that this would create, this meant that this had to be a derangement of size n minus 1. So how many derangements are there of length n that could be constructed that have the property that if you did that swap, okay, you did not end up creating anything, any other fixed points? Well, we know that afterwards, we had to have a derangement of size n minus 1. There's d of n minus 1 of those, okay? And further, before the swap, n could have been sitting in any one of these positions. So I claim that there's a total of n minus 1 times d of n minus 1 places, okay, where, what do you call it, ways that we could have built a derangement of size, derangements of size n, whose swaps do not create additional fixed points. How many people see what I mean by this? How many people are confused by what I'm saying? Okay, a couple people. Okay? Let's now look at the second part of the term. I claim that if we think of any derangement of size n, it comes in two different kinds of flavors. It meant that after we did this unique swap with it, either there were a total of two fixed points or there were one fixed point. We're going to count all the derangements in each category. The sum of them has to be the number of derangements in both, okay, all told, correct? So if we created a fixed point here, let's think about it this way. Suppose, let's say that originally we had the element k was in the nth, that in the kth spot we had n, and in the nth spot we had k. When we did that swap, what did we have left? There were a total of n minus 2, I'm sorry about that, n minus 2 elements that were not involved with fixed points, correct? Once we fix the position of the swap, okay, the number of legal ways that we could have had permutations that ended like this meant that we had to have that if we were doing the swap in the kth position, that meant that numbers, if we ignore the kth number and the nth number, the other n minus 1 numbers, n minus 2 numbers, had to represent a legal derangement, okay? And so I claim that the number of ways that we can build derangements, okay, of n, they are of two different flavors, and we can count how many there are of each flavor, okay? And they're given by this recurrence. How many people understand what I mean? How many people don't quite see it? Okay? Just to sort of make sure that everybody believes, let's go through this particular thing, and let's look at the flavors of derangements. Okay, let's count how many fixed points we get if we did the swap. Okay? How many fixed points would we get if we did this swap? Okay? Two. This is one that, well, let's try this in different colors. This would be something that would be of two colors. How many if we did this swap? One. How many if we did this swap? One, because three would not be creating a fixed point. How many if we did this swap? One. This swap here? Two. This swap here? One. This swap here? One. This swap here? One. This swap here? Two. Okay? So we agree that if we look at this thing, there are three of these that represent double fixed points, and six that represent single fixed points. What we claimed was that d sub 4 should be equal to 3 times d sub 2 plus d sub 3, okay, where d sub 3 we said was 2 and d sub 1 was 1. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So think about what that means. Okay? It's a good example, again, of thinking about these things recursively to try to induce recurrences. Any questions? Question? Well, here we said the rule was we take the nth element, the largest one, 4, and figure out if we swap it back to its position, somebody else gets moved back into, you know, we just swap with the element containing 4 and the fourth slot. Either it's going to put two elements in the right position, like it does here, or it's going to put one element in the right position, which it does here. And we break down our permutations by that, okay? Any questions? Okay. Anyway, this is sort of a classical problem in combinatorics. Okay, and like I say, in general, okay, that when you solve this recurrence, what you end up getting something is something that approaches n factorial over e. Okay, and in fact, it approaches it very, very quickly if you actually sit down and compute such things. Okay, and that's why the probability would be 1 over e. I don't want to actually go and solve this now, but I just wanted to point that out. Any questions? What I did want to point out was a little bit of an interesting combinatorial problem related to this, where we can start to use our expected notion of expected values we defined last time. Okay? Is to think about how many fixed points you would expect. Okay? We'll say a fixed point, remember, in a permutation was a element such that the ith element in the permutation was I. A derangement had no fixed points. The sorted order had n fixed points. In general, what is the probability that if I have a random permutation of n elements, that I have exactly k fixed points? Let's think about it this way, okay? Well, we form a little bit of a recurrence with that, okay? Or not a recurrence, but using what we know, the probability that we get k fixed points can be determined as follows, okay? Well, if we pick, how many ways are there to pick which would be fixed points? Well, we want exactly k elements out of n to be fixed points. There n choose k ways to pick those fixed points, right? Okay. Once we know what the fixed points are, if we want to count all possible ways to end up with exactly k fixed points, that means the elements that we didn't pick had better not have any fixed points to it, right? And the number of ways to have that be done, once we've fixed which k we want as these things, is that we want that the other n minus k elements have to form a derangement, correct? So my claim is that the number of permutations, okay, of size n with k fixed points is n choose k times the number of derangements of n minus k, correct? That seems believable. And if you believe that, what's interesting is it gives us another way to count the number of derangements. Okay? How many permutations are there which have some number of fixed points? Okay, well, every permutation has some number of fixed points, right? So if we sum up over all permutations, there's going to be n factorial of them. If there are this many that have exactly k fixed points, if we sum up over all k, okay, from k equals 0 to k equals n, I claim every permutation has to be counted exactly once, correct? Every permutation has a certain number of fixed points in it. That number from 0 to n, summing up over all permutations clustered by fixed points, that has to be n factorial. Okay, how many people agree with that? Okay, that should be easy. Okay? So what's interesting is we can prove that therefore n factorial is the sum of these guys. Okay. And since we know that n choose k is the same as k choose n choose n minus k. We can make this n choose n minus k, minus k, then change the variable for n minus k. We basically have just proven a different recurrence for the number of derangements, that n factorial is equal to the sum of n choose k dk over all k. Okay? Any questions? Okay, so this gives a way to us to express, if you want to think of it, gives us a way to express d of n in terms of the number of derangements of all smaller things. And in fact, something about your series is that's sort of where the E is going to come out of, but we don't want to go through that. Any questions? Okay. What I ask you now is, just as a little practice for our mean thing, what is the expected number of fixed points we get in a random permutation? Okay, let's think about this thing. I now give you a permutation of length n. How many people on average will get their hat back? Okay. So now we're not talking about what's the probability that nobody gets their hat back? Now let's say we do the experiment. Let's say that every one of you gives me your hat. Okay. Or since none of you have hats, let's say every one of you gives me your homework assignment. Okay. I scramble the homework assignments and I give them back to you in random order. How many of you are going to get your homework assignment back? What's the expected number of fixed points we get in a random permutation? Well, look at the following. F sub n, we're going to define as being a random variable, which says how many fixed points are there, okay, in a permutation of size. Okay, F sub n is going to be a random variable that operates on permutations that tells you how many fixed points there are. Okay? We want to know what's the expected value of F sub n, correct? Summed up over all permutations. Well, one thing that we could observe is we could take a look at represent the number of fixed points in a permutation, that random variable, as the sum of n